Good morning and blessings to everyone. Thank you for coming and joining us. David, you snuck in here. Welcome. There's various ones that are here this morning. It's a blessed, very, very blessed privilege to be together for the baptism here today. And it's just, we're just grateful to God, aren't we? Grateful to God. Grateful to God for his continued work in our midst and bringing younger ones to salvation. There's seven of them this morning, and that's just a great blessing. Maybe we could pray together. It's pretty full. Why don't we all rise to our feet for prayer? Father in heaven, we're gathered this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for just the great work of salvation that you have brought to us as mankind. And we know that you're calling all men to salvation. Many are called, but few are chosen. And this morning we're here. We're very grateful for the privilege to be able to gather in freedom, to lift our voices, to sing, to pray, listen to the word being preached. And God, we would ask in Jesus' name that in this time this morning, you would again draw our hearts heavenward. God, I'd ask that as we listen to the words being preached and as we already heard the reading of the word and the singing, we just ask, oh God, that all of us would be drawn to you. And help us, oh Lord, that our hearts would be soft and tender and willing to yield to the will of God. Lord, I ask that you would guide my thoughts as I share. Give me clear inspiration. I ask, Lord, that the burden could be clear this morning. And I ask, Lord, that you would take the word of God and take it way beyond where my thoughts have been and way beyond what I even share here, and ask that you would apply it to our hearts, and we ask for your help. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your mercy upon us, Lord. It's only by your mercy and grace that we're here. So, Lord, thank you for your continued presence. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. As you see the title on the board, it says the mystery of the wheat. The mystery of the wheat. This morning I brought a bunch of wheat berries. I guess all of you are familiar with wheat, right? It's what bread is made from. There's a bunch of wheat. I have a bunch here. Who can tell me this morning whether this wheat is dead or alive? It's alive. It's alive. Does anyone disagree with that? Everyone thinks, yes, you disagree. You think it's dead. This wheat is dead. Has to die. It has to die. Okay. I want to talk about some of those things this morning. If we take that wheat and we put it in water, what would happen? It starts sprouting. So there is a germ of life there, isn't it? There is a germ of life there. My thoughts have been going to all of you as youth that are getting baptized this morning. And while some of this is directed to you, those of you that are getting baptized, why don't you just rise to your feet? Can you do that? sort of sprinkled across here. Seven of you. All right, thank you. You can sit down again. I'd like to say that this is somewhat aimed at you, but to all of us. There's some principles we'd like to look at, and I'm going to say this morning what I'd like to speak about is at the core, what I'm going to say, at the core of man's problems and issues. Now, is there anyone here who has never had any problems or issues? Raise your hand if you've never had any struggles or problems or issues. I put my hands down, right? All of us have had lots of struggles and problems and issues. All of us have. But I'd like to just maybe say it this way, that what I like to speak about is at the core of our struggle, at the core of our issues we struggle with. Turn with me. I'd like to read a couple of verses. First of all, to John chapter 12, I want to read first. John chapter 12. Verse 21, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus answered, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Now listen to this. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Now let's also turn to Mark in chapter 8. I want to read a couple of verses there. Mark chapter 8. Read in verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I would like to this morning consider the whole idea of at the core of us as mankind is the flesh. There's within man, God has put a spirit, and we have the flesh. And way in the beginning, when God created the world, a lot of things happened in those early days, and actually, even prior to man's falling, prior to the fall of man, there's fallen angels, and we'd like to look at some of those things this morning. But because of the fall, the angels, and the fall of man, their sin has come upon mankind. And with all of us, there's a fallen nature. And we'd like to just take a look at that here this morning. Now, the first heading that I have that we'd like to look at is that the struggle of self is nothing new. This whole struggle of self, selfishness, our own way, it's nothing new. Not at all. In Isaiah, it talks about Satan and what happened in heaven. I was sitting here this morning just thinking about all the bliss and all the glories of heaven. Here you have the Father, and he's sitting on the throne. And the Bible describes it that there are streets of gold. And the Bible describes it that in heaven there is no sin. There's holiness and there's righteousness. And it describes, you know, the 24 elders. It describes the seraphims. It describes the angels. And it describes the Father there on the throne and all the angels coming. And with that holy presence, they bow themselves. And with one wing, they cover their faces. And if you can just imagine with me all this glory and bliss in heaven. And then in the middle of these millions of angels and all these beings in heaven glorifying and worshiping God, there was one who raised himself up. And we want to look at what he said. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14, we want to read. Turn to the book of Isaiah with me. Isaiah chapter 14, we want to look at what happened when this one angel lifted himself up. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, it says this: "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart..." Now listen to this. Can you just imagine that Lucifer, there with all the other, what I'm going to say, probably millions of angels, and in the presence of God and all in his worship and lifting up God, lifting him up and all that worship. There's one angel that said this: "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." Listen to all these "I wills." He says, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Time after time he said, "I will." He's lifting himself up above God. Verse 14 says, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." See, God is way higher than us. God is way higher than the angels. God is above all. But Lucifer said, "I will raise myself up higher than the higher than the heavens, and I will be like the Most High." It says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms?" But here was Lucifer. Before the fall of man, there was Lucifer. And in heaven, with all these beauties and all these angels, and seraphims, and 24 elders, and the whole host of heaven, in the presence of God, and all the holiness, and even covering their faces. And here there was one that raised himself up. And as he raised himself up and said, I will ascend, I will, I will, I will, he received a following. And as a result, that's why we have all the fallen angels, which are demons and devils and evil, wicked spirits in the world today. That's why. That's why. So this whole idea of selfishness, the self-life, the self-will is nothing new, is it? But look at the results. What is the results of Lucifer lifting himself up? Anyone tell me? Sin, and he was cast down, and he will end up in eternal hell as a result of that. As a result of that. This struggle of self is nothing new. Consider with me, you know, we could look at Adam and Eve, but I think I'll skip over that, and we'll just talk about Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, the first two boys. I look, Brother David, these young boys playing together. There's a day that Cain and Abel played together just like these boys. And now, I'm going to expect that normally they play pretty nice. Occasionally, occasionally they might, have you ever hit your brother? Have you? Maybe once? Okay, you little boys, there's some playing going on, there's some quarreling, this and that, you know, different things happen. But they come up through. Can you imagine Cain and Abel, you know, coming up through, playing with the animals, caring for the garden, all kinds of things were going on in Cain and Abel, those first two boys. And they came up, up to a certain place in their life, and coming to this, to a more mature stage in their life, God talked to Cain and Abel. And God asked them to bring an offering. I'm going to suggest that God asked them to do that. And I'm confident, even though the Bible isn't clear on what that offering is, I'm confident that God was specific with the offering, because God does not give a command and then punish if they, or God does not punish someone for something they didn't know. So God must have been clear in giving instruction what sacrifices they were to bring. But Abel worked with the animals, and he brought a sacrifice, the animals. And Cain, he brought a sacrifice from the field, because Cain was a worker of the field. And so Cain brought from the field. And God was not well pleased with Cain's offering. God was very displeased with Cain's offering. And God saw, or Cain saw, that God was pleased with Abel and displeased with him. What rose up in Cain's heart at that point? Self. Self. Other things? Jealousy. What did you say? Anger. Anger, jealousy. The old man. It rose up within him. And what did he do? Cain, when he became angry, he slew his brother Abel. And I was just pondering how he slew him. The Bible doesn't say how he slew him, but it's very clear that when God came down to Cain and said, where's your brother Abel? Where's your brother Cain? And where's your brother? It's very clear. God said, the blood of your brother cries from the earth. I would just imagine that very likely he actually put a sword to his heart in a similar way that you do with animals. I don't know. But very possibly, out of his anger and jealousy, he put a sword to Abel's heart and killed him. Let me just say, this whole thing of selfishness and this wickedness that's bound in the heart of man is nothing new, is it? It's nothing new. It's nothing new. The mystery of the wheat. As we go on through here, we want to look at that further. The story of Cain, the way of Cain. Actually, Scripture refers it to the way of Cain. The way of Cain refers to an individual who attempts to approach God on his or her own terms rather than on God's terms. I don't know if you get that. Now let me read this again. The way of Cain refers to an individual who attempts to approach God on his own, on his or her own terms rather than on God's terms. Why is it that so many times we know what God wants us to do, but we want to do something else first? Or we want to do it differently? That was what was going on here. Number two, the way of Cain describes attempts to earn God's favor by works rather than a reliance on God's grace. Number three, the way of Cain says there are many paths that lead to God rather than one path. Number four, the way of Cain leads to an eternal death rather than eternal life. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death. Now, I think all of us would love if somehow we could just eradicate the flesh. And my next heading here is, can the flesh be eradicated? Can the flesh be eradicated? Can it? Can the flesh be eradicated? Now, I'd like for all of those who feel like you have been born by the Spirit of God and that you have a new heart and new affections to raise your hand. Okay, good. Thank you. Now, let me ask this question. Has the flesh been eradicated? Is the flesh gone? All right, I'd like to do a little test. I'm trying to figure out who to do it on. Jason, I just need to come up here. I need you. Now, I wasn't sure what to do, Jason, but I could, you know, I'd like to see if his flesh is eradicated, all right? Now, you know, there's a lot of ways. Give me your hand. Okay, now, I could take something and I could really whack on his arm or I could start pinching him. Okay. All right, now, okay, you tell me what you think happens once it hurts enough. Okay, but is something going to rise up against me? Okay. All right, his face isn't showing it yet, but okay. Okay, now, here's the thought. If I get serious enough, all of a sudden, there's something going to rise up within him that he wants to do the same thing to me. You know, let me get a hold of him, you know, right? Okay, so is the flesh still there? Yeah. All right, thank you. Okay, do you get it? You know, as much as God has come and he's transformed our life, there's something within us that flesh, it wants to rise up. If I would have gotten really serious with him, all of a sudden there's something that would make him want to rise up on the inside and, you know, get me, right? Okay, now is that the Spirit of God or is it the flesh? It's the flesh. Okay, that's what we want to talk about this morning. You get it? That's it right there. That's what we want to talk about. Even though we have the Spirit of God within us, There's things that happen that flesh, you know, it's not eradicated, is it? It's not eradicated. It's still there. Now, there's scriptures that clearly tell us what to do with it. But the flesh, it's still there. And that is what we want to look at this morning. And I'm going to say that unless we get a good grasp and recognize that thing is still there, and we know how to deal with that thing, we're going to be at a very difficult place in our walk with God if we don't recognize that. That's it right there. You know, that thing that wants to rise up. Now, I'd like to just go through and read a number of verses here about the flesh and about what Scripture tells us to do with the flesh. I'd like to just read a number of verses here. I'll listen carefully. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says these words: "For they that are after the flesh..." Can anyone tell me what that means, after the flesh? Can you help me? What does it mean if we're after the flesh? "For they that are after the flesh..." Walking in the flesh? Following human nature. Carnal minded. Not denying himself. Others. Yeah, it's allowing, it's when we follow after the things that gratify the flesh, and we follow after that. Listen to this. Romans 8, verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things that of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So if we want to be serving God, we need to be following after the things of the Spirit of God rather than being carnally minded and following our flesh. Romans 13, verse 14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh." Now, granted, with Jason here, you know, if I would have gotten pretty radical, you know, the Bible says, if someone smites you on the one cheek, turn to him the other also. You know, if I would have gotten pretty radical with that thing, I wonder what he would have done, right? But here it says, make no provision for the flesh. Don't make any provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16 and 17 says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Within us, there's this strife. There's this strife. There's a constant fight between the flesh and the Spirit. Even though we have been born again by the Spirit of God, there's a flesh that wants to rise up within us and do things that is contrary to the Spirit of God. Contrary to the Spirit of God. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit. "And ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Galatians chapter 6, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I'd like to suggest that it's of utmost importance that we're at the place that we clearly recognize this fight and this struggle within us. Even though we've been born again by the Spirit of God, we have our sins washed, and we're serving God. But we're sensitive when that, you know, when that thing is there, and we're clearly, we're walking after the Spirit of God. We're walking in obedience. We're filling our mind with the Word of God. We're choosing to obey Him. At the same time, within us, there's a flesh that needs to constantly be dealt with. We want to continue to look at that. How to reckon with the flesh that is constantly within us. Here's another heading. Death before life can come. Now, it's a paradox. And this is where the title comes, A Mystery of the Wheat. Death before life can come. Now, just this past week, I sat on an airplane and I was flying. And right beside me, there's a man. And we sat on the plane, it wasn't long, we struck up a conversation. And he loved to talk about God. I was delighted. We were having a wonderful conversation. Having a wonderful conversation. Kept on going. Partway through, all of a sudden, he mentioned about having left his wife, gotten remarried. And I could tell by the way he said it, he was pretty self-conscious with what he had done. He was careful. We kept on talking for a while, and we circled back, and I just asked him the question, what do you think the Bible means when it says that we shouldn't divorce and remarry? What do you think the Bible means with that? And he quickly went on, and he was talking about the importance of the heart, how that God knows our heart. But let me tell you something. It was very clear by the way that we communicated there that he was, what I'm going to say, hanging on to what he did, and he wasn't willing to surrender himself to just what the Bible says. I don't know if you get that. Many times, the Bible will say something, and it touches a very specific thing in our life, and guess what we do? We do this. I could feel that going on in his heart immediately. He drew back. And the reason he was drawing back is because he knew that if he would choose to just obey the Bible for what it says, he would have to die. He would have to lay down things and he would have to yield. But I'm going to say that unless we as people come to the place where we are willing to do just that, die, there is no resurrection. Now, this grain of wheat, we want to talk about it a bit. you know, when Jesus died, there was a resurrection afterward. And what came out of that, you and I are all very familiar with. We're very familiar with that. This wheat here, what I keep being amazed is, we're country folk, right? We know very well what happens when we put these seeds in the ground. I have to explain it this way. These days, my wife, she doesn't have the garden she used to. She has one of those, is it five, those raised beds. She's in, she's not 25 years old anymore. So it's harder to bend over, you know. Yeah, so she has these raised beds. But she loves to go out there. And she has this little prong, and she rakes through there and prepares the garden, or the, you know, these little raised beds, you know. She loves to do that. And then she puts these seeds in there. Now, she knows when she puts these seeds in there, there's something going to happen after the seeds are dropped in there. She's not dumb, right? You know, she's not dumb. And she puts these seeds, and normally she doesn't raise wheat, but it's all kinds of other stuff, right? And she goes and puts these seeds in there, and these seeds, every seed that she puts into the ground is going to do what? Die. Die. Every seed that gets put into the ground, every last one of those is going to, what?
Die.
It's going to die. Every last seed that's going to go into the ground is going to die. It has to give its life. It has to give its life. Now, we like to think that if I'd ask for a raise of hands this morning, who all would like to die and go to heaven? We'd all go, me. Now, once a man is on his deathbed and he's thinking about dying, there's something within man that wants to continue to live, right? Right? And it's hard to come to the place where I just yield and just say, okay. Yeah, but we get there, right? But there's something within man that wants to yield. We don't, there's something within man that doesn't want to die. We want to continue to live. Like we want to hold on. But if we continue to live, will we ever experience the glories of heaven? No, we won't. Okay, now, here's the thing that we want to just look at very carefully. If we, as believers in Jesus Christ, don't come to the place where we surrender our will, okay, surrender, right? Surrender our will 100%, then there's no way for Christ to live with inside of us or to come up and give us power. There's no way. The only way that Christ can come and give us power over sin is if we die to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves. We have to surrender our will. That's the mystery of the wheat. A man has to die. We have to come to the place where every area of our life is totally surrendered. And it's at that point, at that very point where that full surrender is made, that the life of Jesus can start springing up. And now you know how Martha does? You know, after those seeds are in the ground, she'll go out there after 3 days and 4 days, and she'll look. And guess what she does? You know, she looks, and when that starts sprouting, she'll come with excitement. She'll come and say, "Hey, did you see? The plants are coming. You know, there's life there. It's growing, right?" But let me just tell you, all of us sit here and we want to live a life that the power of God can be in us, and we can live in the Spirit, and we can walk in the ways of God. All of us want to do that. But let me just tell you, unless we're at the place where we surrender our will, where we take up our cross, and we die, there is no life. There will be no life. There will be no life. Just like that man, I got off that plane with a heavy heart because I saw him hanging on to what he knew. I could tell he knew that he needed to surrender, but it was hard. And came off with a heavy heart. Even though he had all these good things to say, I could tell there was something within. I could just tell that he was hanging on to. Now, I like to just ask the question here this morning. If we're very, very honest with ourselves, what are the things that you and I are still hanging on to? It's actually hard to admit sometimes. It's hard to, but we just, you know, everything else we give, but we hang on to this. God is looking for us to die. And it's when we die to self, it's when we die to our own way, it's when we say no and we choose to just take this Bible, and maybe I should say it this way, life comes when we choose to just simply surrender our will and just do what the Bible says. And death needs to come to the areas where we differ from the teachings of God's word and we surrender to our flesh, we follow and we obey the word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Let me just read that again. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If a man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, my next heading is three men wanting to do it their own way. Now, the three men that I want to be looking at here, all of them really wanted to serve God, but they wanted to do it on their terms. And I'm going to say that for many of us, we're here this morning and we're saying, I want to serve God, I want to follow him, I want to do his will. And then when we come up against it, we want to still do it, but the way we want to. Listen to this. Yeah, this is in Romans chapter 6. This is in Luke chapter 9. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9 and we'll just look at that. Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. And as we go through here and read this, listen carefully. These are three men that wanted to serve God. They wanted to follow Jesus, but they wanted to do it on their terms. And look at Jesus' response. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That was the first man. The second one, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. What did Jesus tell him to do? Come and follow me. Then he said, I want to first go and bury my father. Isn't that our response often? You know, Jesus tells us what to do, and then we say, I want to first go bury my father. Listen to the third. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at my house. Do you hear that? Jesus said, come follow me. And another said, you know, I want to first go and bid them farewell, all those that are at my house. And then this is Jesus' response. Listen to this. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Jesus didn't like their responses. Jesus did not like their responses. Jesus is looking for those of us who are at the place when he puts his finger on an area in our life and there's clear biblical truth that he wants us to follow. He's looking for people who will say, yes, Lord, and I die to my own will. You know, I yield. I yield. You know, it reminds me of things that happen in our home sometimes. You know, this wasn't just Jesus saying this. In our home sometimes, you know, one of the boys reading a book, and I say, hey, son, can you go and do the chores? He says, Dad, can I finish this chapter? No, none of us has ever done that kind of thing, right? Right? And maybe there's one of the other boys, you know, deeply engrossed in playing a game, and Dad comes and says, hey, you know, could you go and clean out the garage? He says, Dad, could I finish what I'm doing first? Okay, that's it. That's it right there. That's what Jesus was looking at. That's the human nature of man that says, I want to first do these other things. Because let me tell you, many times when we make those excuses, we end up never doing what we were told to do. Many times. We want to do it our way. Three men wanting to do it their own way. Well, the next heading I have is simply, reckon yourself to be dead. Sometimes the question comes, well, how do I overcome sin? How do I overcome? How do I, and there's all these questions, and how do I get there? How do I come to the place where this self-life, where this self-will, where these things don't overpower me? Because there's a constant strife within my bosom. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh. There's this constant. Listen to this. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Let me just stop there. Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin. Now, I remember coming out to the barn one day, and there was a cat laying on the ground. And I was confident this cat was dead. But guess what I did? I went over and I kicked it a bit and wanted to see if it's dead. And as I kicked it, you know, it was stiff. There was no life there. And I kicked it and it was dead. Now, This doesn't work for a possum. It doesn't work for a possum. But for a cat, if she's laying there and there's life there, you could look in her eyes and you could do things and you'd realize she's alive. You'd know. Okay. Scripture says here in Romans, reckon yourselves to be what? Dead. Unto what? Sin. But there's this big fight going on. Big fight going on, right? Big fight going on. Okay. Reckon yourselves to be what? Dead unto sin. How do we reckon ourselves? We consider ourselves to be dead unto sin. Scripture says when we're faced with that, we can reckon ourselves to be at a place where, oh, that doesn't have any power over me because I'm dead. Because of what Christ has done, I can just choose to, that doesn't have any power over me. Reckon myself to be dead unto sin. And does that make sense? Reckon ourselves. It's just something that we can just believe. Well, that sin, that fight, whatever that might be, you know, it might be an attitude at someone. It might be a moral sin. There's all kinds of things that want to rise up. That flesh wants to rise up. And we can be at a place where we can just reckon ourselves to be dead to that. Well, we can just stop and say, that doesn't have any power over me. I'm going to choose to believe that that doesn't have any power. And God, you're in control and help me to be faithful. And that thing has no power. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that is powerful. In fact, this power that it's talking about is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I've never seen anyone raised from the dead. Yesterday morning, we were talking, we were discussing a bit about the how it must have been when Jesus rose from the dead, and those and a whole bunch of people that were dead got up and they went into the city. You know, old saints, they got up, walked into the city. Okay, I can't imagine. You know, just having a bunch of people that I knew 50 years ago, I didn't know them 50 years ago. I'm younger than that. But, you get the point, right? Okay, people we would have known earlier, and here we see them. Okay, that same power that raised those men from the dead, that power right there lives within us if we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin. These seeds, they go into the ground and they die. And when these seeds die, there's new life that comes up. It's when we die to ourselves that new life springs forth. And it's the power of God. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, wow, that's some powerful stuff. If we die, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells within us. And we simply reckon ourselves to be dead. Now, I don't know that I can explain it, but the whole thing's a mystery. Died to ourselves, died to our flesh. Then there's the power of God there. But as long as the flesh, as long as we feed the flesh, we allow the flesh to have dominion over us, God can't reign in our hearts. The next heading I have here is practical examples of taking up the cross, or the term bearing the cross. Or we could say it, practical ways of dying. Practical ways of simply being at that place where we give, where we yield ourselves, and then the power of life can be in us. I want to give you a couple here. I want to give you a couple practical examples. And I'm giving you a couple here, and then you take it, and you take it a lot further than these couple, okay? All of us face various things. The practical ways of taking up the cross. And I'm going to use practical ways of taking up the cross. Practical ways of dying to ourselves. Dying to the things of our fleshly things. Practical ways of practical things in our life. Here's the first one. Forgiving instead of harboring a grudge. Anyone relate to that one? Right? Forgiving instead of harboring a grudge. Now, Paul said, he said, what's the terminology he used? He used a term that daily dying to my, to himself. Can anyone help me with that? Okay, I die daily. He used that term. Every day I die to my own flesh, my own way. Okay, forgiveness rather than harboring a grudge. Now, is there anyone? Is that right, Benjamin? Is there anyone that has ever been tempted to not forgive? Anyone? Yeah, I've had that. So every day, things come up, and I have the choice to either die or die and then live. Okay, so we have the opportunity to forgive and not hold a grudge. That's one. Here's another one. Resisting that temptation to do what everyone else does. There are things, children, youth, that maybe there's others in church, maybe there's other families that are allowed to do things. And there's something within you that wants to be like everyone else. And yet your mom or dad says, no, in our home this is what we do. And we fight against that. That's an opportunity for you to die right there and live. Die and live. Taking up your cross. That's it right there. Taking up your cross daily. Here's another one. Keeping yourself morally pure. And I'm going to say before and after marriage. Right? That's an opportunity for all of us, everyone in this room, to keep ourselves morally pure before and after marriage. And so every day, I die. I die and I choose to lay desires down and I choose to reckon myself to be dead so I can live with him. Here's another one. Choosing to not speak evil. Whew. Right? Choosing to not speak evil. That's a place that sometimes we find ourselves saying something and we catch ourselves and we realize that was wrong. And we choose to die to the flesh. Reckon ourselves to be dead to the flesh. Here's another one. We're talking about practical ways of cross-bearing. These are practical ways of cross-bearing. Putting down the phone and picking up your Bible. Anyone relate to that one? Putting down your phone and picking up the Bible. Or maybe it's putting down your phone and going and praying. We relate to that. Have the flesh, follow after the things of the flesh, or follow after the things of the Spirit. Here's another one. Praying when you would rather be sleeping. Here's another one. Swallowing your pride when God puts his finger and says, go talk to that person. And we think, what are they going to think of me if I start talking to them about Jesus? Swallowing your pride. Inside of us that keeps us from just being open and talking to others about God? And what is it? Tell me. So we're somewhere, we walk into a gas station, or we're just sitting and talking with, or you're staying and talking, and all of a sudden we know God wants us to talk to that person. What keeps us from doing that? Fear, what else? Being ashamed. Various things. Most of those things are they from the Spirit of God or from the flesh? From the flesh, right? So those are opportunities for us to reckon ourselves to be dead. Right? Here's some more. Responding kindly and with respect to our spouse and to our children. Now, you all do that, right? You all speak nice and kindly and with respect to your spouse and to your children. Let me tell you where the difference comes in. We have a tone of voice that we speak at home when it's just our family. We have a tone. We talk, whether to our spouse, children. Then as soon as there's others show up, all of a sudden that tone of voice changes. That's it. Okay, that's what I'm talking about right there. Okay, what is it? What is it that makes people do that? Is that from the Spirit of God or from the flesh? Do you follow that? From the flesh. That's an opportunity to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Here's another one. Maybe it's dads just simply having frustration at the children. They're disobeying, they're not being respectful. They're not being respectful. And dad sort of gets frustrated. Here's a term that gets used a little bit. Dad sort of got out of his box. Did you ever hear that term? Dad sort of got out of his box a bit. Dad got frustrated. Does that come from the flesh or from the Spirit of God? Here's another one. Moms, maybe you have an attitude towards some other lady in church. Has that ever happened? Maybe, huh? You know, I'm not a lady, but moms, maybe having an attitude at some other lady in church, something they did. Where does that come from? The flesh or the Spirit of God? Right? Here's another one. Boys, boys, listen to this. I'm talking to you. For the boys, it might be a cool way of dressing, or it might be some fashion jeans, or maybe a stylish haircut, or it could be disrespect to toward dad. Boys, where does that come from? The flesh or the Spirit of God? Right? Flesh and Spirit of God. Now, you girls thought that I was going to skip you, but I have one for you too. Listen to this. For the girls, maybe a stylish sweater. Maybe. You know, I realize girls tend to be a little bit more moody. Maybe some hormone changes and things, and it affects you. But there's some that just allow that to just make them very miserable. No one likes to be around. Now, I realize those things are real. But you know what? The Spirit of God helps us to die, to reckon ourselves to be dead. And when we don't feel the best, we still respond in a Christ-like way. Right? Right? Here's another one. Simply refraining from anger. Here's another one. Now, here's some habits and here's some things that maybe you're not so aware of. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But listen to this. Controlling our buying habits and refraining from covetousness. You know what amazes me? It tends to be there's a lot of sins that get confessed. But the sin of covetousness, I very rarely hear being confessed. Very rarely. Maybe it's excessive hunting and fishing rather than assisting church families or widows or projects or outreach to the lost. Let me just tell you that there's a whole host of things. There's a whole host of things that when Scripture says that we need to be going after the Spirit, and there's some that are after the flesh. There's a whole host of things every day. And God is wanting us to be at a place where we simply reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, dead unto our flesh. And as we choose to surrender, there's a beauty that comes forth. And let me just tell you, I can't explain this little bag right here. If I plant this in the ground and it's nice and soft and fertile and has moisture and warmth, and after a short time, these seeds right here, they're going to start growing. And the beauty and the life and everything that comes out of that is phenomenal. Amen. And God is looking. He's looking across here this morning. He's looking at all of us and he's saying, oh, would to God that every day all of us we'd be at a place where we'd see the strife that goes on in our own hearts and we choose every day. We choose to die. We choose to surrender. Every day we take up the cross. Amen. I'm going to say that is at the core of man's continued struggle and problems. And even as Christians, born-again Christians that are serving God, that's at the core. And many are shallow, and many are carnal, and many are going their own way because they're not choosing every day to surrender myself, my own will, to God Almighty, to His Word. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Paul summed it up this way. He said in Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Did you get that? I mean, listen to that. I mean, that's powerful. This is what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 2, it says what Jesus did. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And when he chose to humble himself, even to the death on the cross, the results of his death is the reason why we're here. And all the rejoicing and all the spiritual life and the change of life that we have within us is all because he chose to die. And now look what we have. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. The mystery of the wheat. Many titles you could give that. And I guess if I could just say it this way, if I could simply help us to understand that every day there's a fight within us. There's a flesh, there's a spirit. And even in order for us to become born of the Spirit of God, we had to surrender and die. And yet the flesh is not eradicated. And as a result of that, every day, we again need to make that choice. As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's how we received him, by surrendering. That's how we continue to walk and follow him, is by a continued dying to the flesh, reckoning ourselves to be dead unto sin. Lord bless you all.